Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come now and worship the Lord.
Hello, friends and family, near and far. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, and I am back from my travels. I am now in Champaign again, and it is good to be home, as it is good to sometimes get away and get a different perspective and see how other people are living their lives. Always a good expansion of understanding of the amazing world that God has created and the people all over the world that God loves. Welcome to online worship. I pray that the songs, the prayers, Jeff's teaching, that all together we would be encouraged to sow seeds of peace and work for justice, and that our words would be pleasing to the Lord and would lift up each other. Welcome. Amen.
This is the Sabas family reading from Psalm 19.
The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and, like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward.
But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, thine own may I be. Thou in me dwelling, and I one with thee. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure thou art. My King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy so bright and sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
This is Karen Hogenboom. I am here on behalf of the Family Fund. We have not talked to you in a while, so I'm going to remind you that we have a small amount of the NCF budget that's set aside for helping NCF members and people close to them. If you need to apply or if you need to refer somebody, you can talk to me or the other members, who are Ron Baker, Barbara Pritchard, Nancy Miller, and Judy Husband. And I'd also like to pray for our community and for our work. So please pray with me. Lord, so many people are in need, and some have been helped with programs that the government has had in place for the pandemic, but those are starting to go away. And I just pray that everyone would be taken care of, that evictions would not happen, that people would be able to make their rent, and that they'll be working, that all would be taken care of, and have no food insecurity. Lord, you can do it, and I know you will do it. And thank you that you've let the Family Fund be a small part of what you are doing, to be your hands with people who are in New Covenant or close to New Covenant people. It's an honor that we don't take for granted, and I just pray that you would continue to guide us in the good use of our funds, in care for people, in helping people to find ways to solve ongoing financial problems when that's an issue. Lord, it's sometimes hard to discern what we should do, but I know that you can help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the desert, hungry and desperately thirsty. Then they called to the Lord in their trouble. Then they called to the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. Then they called to the Lord, and you came with your word. You
gave us the hope in which we stand, for which we praise you. You give us the songs, give us the words with which to say you are Lord.
Others were plying their business when storms arose on their ocean. Then they called to the Lord in their trouble. Then they called to the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. Then they called to the Lord, and you brought them to port. You
gave us the hope which we stand, for which we praise you. You give us the songs, give us the words with which to say you are Lord.
You filled a desert with water, an arid country with springs flowing. Gave a hungry a home, to found a town, to sow their fields, plant their vines, harvest, harvest. Make their numbers increase, bring new families and peace.
You gave us the hope in which we stand, for which we praise you. You give us the songs, give us the words with which to say.
James 3, 1 through 12 in the Common English Bible translation. My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers, because we know that we teachers will be judged more strictly. We all make mistakes, often, but those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. Like a bridled horse, they can control themselves entirely. When we bridle horses and put bits in their mouths to lead them wherever we want, we can control their whole bodies. Consider ships. They're so large that strong winds are needed to drive them, but pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts wildly. Think about this. A small flame can set a whole forest on fire. The tongue is a small flame of fire, a world of evil at work in us. It contaminates our entire lives. Because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. The tongue itself is set on fire by the flames of hell. Well, people can tame, and already have tamed, every kind of animal, bird, reptile, fish. No one can tame the tongue, though. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we both bless the Lord and Father and curse human beings made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, it just shouldn't be this way. Both fresh water and salt water don't come from the same spring, do they? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Of course not. And fresh water doesn't flow from a saltwater spring either.
Hello, New Covenant. My name is Jeff Trask, and as always, it's an honor and privilege to share the teaching with you for this Sunday worship. My title today is All Words Matter. That's All Words Matter. In recent years, there's been controversy about the phrase Black Lives Matter. Others who choose to ignore the point of that phrase have referred to using a counterphrase saying All Lives Matter. People who use that phrase have chosen to believe there's no point in highlighting that there's a reality in our society where black lives do matter less than white lives, particularly if you look at the statistics and other documented proof of an equal treatment, particularly in the justice system. But however, with my title, All Words Matter, I'm flipping the script, and I'm expressing that when it comes to the tongue, there truly is no need to delineate one person or group from the next. Each and every tongue in this world has the power to do great things, whether for good or for evil. There's no respect of persons when it comes to who can do damage with their words. So let's start off with what is a tongue. And if you haven't guessed by now, I'm going to be coming out of James chapter 3, where James talks a lot about the power of the tongue. But one of the things we have to think about is that the tongue is a little different today than it was in James's day. In James's day, most communication was verbal through oral traditions going from one generation to the next. But in our society, we have to add some things to the tongue. It's not just verbal spoken words, but it's also printed words, social media, and any other types of form of communication that goes out into the cosmos. So what's the big deal about the tongue? Well, James says in chapter verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a smart part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the course of one's life on fire, and is itself on fire by hell. I almost want to ask James to tell us how you really feel about the tongue here, James. The reality is that the power of the tongue is not clearly proportionate to its place among our body. The example that a lot of versions of the Bible give about forest fires is pretty of a stark example. We consider that In 2020, for example, we had 58,950 wildfires, which compared to a clear 8,000 less the year before. That consumed about 10.1 million acres of land burned in 2020. Now, these are enormous amounts of land being burned by fire, but what's fascinating is that these fires, 90% of the time, are started by people in some form or fashion. Could be something as small as not putting a cigarette out or a campfire out appropriately, and all these little things turn into massive destruction and all types of damage done. This is the type of tongue, or the type of damage that James is saying the tongue can do. And if you're not convinced, let's go through a couple of examples of just how powerful the tongue could be. For example, I was watching I like watching historical documentaries, and one of the ones I was watching was about World War II. And it talked about how 50% of the German population that died in World War II died in the last 10 months of fighting. And when you consider that Hitler started attacking countries in 1938, we're talking about a 7-year war, but half the population of the Germans that died died in the last 10 months. Well, how in the world could something like that happen? Well, it was about the power of the tongue, the power of propaganda. And ironically, it wasn't necessarily Hitler's tongue in this matter. It was because he had basically kind of bowed out, and they knew the war was about over and the walls were caving in on him, so he didn't do any public appearances. But it was actually the propaganda of how well German science and technology was that was going to still save them in the war if they decided to just hang on a little longer. And the crazy irony about this German science technology dominance that was going to save them from the war were mythical. There was ballistic missiles involved. There was this Tiger tank involved. And in both cases, this new technology did not live up anywhere close to the mythology that was being perpetuated in the propaganda, this power of the tongue. And it's really fascinating because you know that most of Germany was obviously motivated to do what they did because of Hitler. But even when Hitler's out the picture, they are still believing in something that was going to save them from the war. Kind of reminds me of another example where Donald Trump, who started off kind of boohooing the idea of getting a vaccine, tried recently to encourage people to get a vaccine and got booed. His own creation kind of booed him out of the place. And it's fascinating to me because, again, you have propaganda. You have things that were said a certain way and framed a certain way. And this power of the tongue has translated into countless lives being lost unnecessarily. And the question is why? I mean, when we have literally over 648,000 people who have died from COVID, or 40.3 million cases, how is it possible that someone who, when you know the vaccine can actually save lives and people who are vaccinated don't die, they don't get hospitalized by and large, why wouldn't you go that route? Well, the power of the tongue convinced a large number of people that that the vaccine, there was something wrong with the vaccine. And it's really a tragedy in so many ways. There's a young, relatively young man, couple of years younger than I am, who I went to campus ministry with back in the day, and he was in great shape, and he was more on the conservative end of things and decided not to get vaccinated and died from COVID and left 6 kids behind as a result. So the power of the tongue is just like the forest fire. It has tremendous effects on people. Another example, I was looking into this concept of what they call scientific racism. And scientific racism is basically this reality that our world put the idea that blacks were inferior to whites as a scientific reality from as early as science started to all up until the end of World War II. I guess they figured out it was actually something bad to do when people were trying to commit genocide. But this idea of scientific racism flourished. I mean, even Thomas Jefferson supported the notion, at least that was until Benjamin Banneker kind of set him straight, showing that black people could think and could be intellectually capable But I mean, we're talking about years and yearly, multiple hundreds of years of this prevailing thought, not just the general notion, but the scientific community believed with all surety, just as we believe the earth is round today, that blacks were mentally inferior and inferior in many other ways too. Even in healthcare, some of these things linger around, whereas there was this belief that black people were somehow had inferior bodies and could not necessarily feel things the way other white people felt things. And that translated into, over the years in healthcare, black people not being given the same pain treatment, for example. And they even came up with just crazy notions of mental illness. One thing they call dropopamania, I can't even pronounce it, but it's basically a diagnosed mental illness that explained why slaves ran away for freedom from their slave masters. It wasn't because they wanted to be free, it was because they had a mental illness. So these things, this power of the tongue lingers well after the initial damage is being done. And we know this even on a personal level. I mean, think about all the things that have been said to you, whether it be words of kindness or words of, you can say destruction, or words of being discouraged or being talked down to. It affects us. I mean, we respond to what people say to us all the time. And not only does that power of the tongue affect us personally when we're told things positive or negatively, but then there's ripple effects. It's ripple effects in terms of how long it lingers with us individually, but it's also ripple effects in terms of how those words affect us, and then how we're affected affects other people. You know, and we know that if we encourage a child, for example, throughout their lives about how smart they are and how beautiful they are, it's going to have a much more different effect than if you tell a child while they're growing up that they're spoiled rotten, or that they're no good, or that they're not beautiful. It makes all the difference in the world. And then though that difference makes even more differences. So how do we deal with this? Well, one of my things is that I'm real curious as to where does this stuff start? Because you got to realize that when it comes to the tongue, it's only a reflection of what's inside a person. It's their beliefs, it's their attitudes, it's their views about life and how they're raised and their orientation. You know, how someone holds a certain belief eventually manifests itself in the words and their presentation. And we don't even often question where that comes from. Matter of fact, even if we do on rare occasions question where those beliefs come from, we don't necessarily answer the question of why we give that particular source of information authority and why we believe that particular source of information versus something else. In healthcare, one of the things that we're suffering with is vaccine hesitancy, and I'm actually researching this. And I'm curious about, and particularly among African Americans, what is it exactly that is causing African American people to not want to get the vaccine? What is the source of that information? What is the source? Where's that power of the tongue coming from? And why are they giving one particular source authority versus other sources? And James talks about how all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So it is imperative for us to start from the source, to find out what's inside that manifests itself in these ways. So one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, well, why do we choose to express ourselves in a negative versus a positive fashion? Many people have studied this over the years in terms of why human beings tend to gravitate towards the negative versus the positive. We know that in marketing, people typically will tell a handful of people, three or so people, if something good happened to them, while they'll tell seven people if something bad happened to them. But even though there's also some interesting research showing that in social media, that is actually more of a balance there. News stations that we know, we see negative news all the time because, you know, a lot of times they say people will pay more attention to negative news than positive news. However, some interesting studies have also shown that when positive news is offered, that it actually is kind of equitable in terms of what people will pay attention to. Some people theorize that we gravitate towards the negative for sheer survival. I mean, after all, it is more important to pay attention to a hurricane about to cause damage or when it hits landfall than it is to worry about someone, you know, his cat being saved out of a tree. So there's some type of survival component maybe to this. Whatever the reason may be, while we tend to dwell more in the negative than the positive at times, we have to again think about why is it so hard to tame this tongue? James talks about verses 9 through 12. With it, we bless the Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessings and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. And again, James is alluding to the idea that if you are a believer, if you are someone who believes in Jesus, that we should not have more of this negative propaganda, negative tongue, negative words that come out of ourselves versus positive. And it's really fascinating. I've seen the seemingly, I mean, maybe I'm just biased, but seemingly in more Christian contexts, I think I've seen more drama take place than in non-Christian contexts. So, for example, I played church league softball for years, and I don't think I've ever seen as little sportsmanship at times in church league softball than I have in secular softball. I've sat on board directors for national Christian organizations, and I've seen just an enormous amount of drama take place and unfold in these settings. Because, again, all with the power of the tongue, people not being able to control their tongue. So, as you may know, I'm all about not just talking about the problem, but also trying to come up with a solution. So, one of my thoughts about the tongue is kind of dealing with it in two ways. Because from what James is saying, you can't necessarily control it. All the other animals of the world can be controlled, but the tongue cannot be. We know that it's going to spew forth both good and positive things. So what do we do to limit those negative things that come out that can cause that damage and ripple effects that I talked about earlier? Well, one is prevention, and two is damage control. I kind of think about it as approaching it like heart disease. One day, no matter what, we all will have problems with our heart as we age. There's two things, though, that can minimize that damage. One is doing the best things you can to prevent the onset of heart problems in the first place. And then the second thing is that when you do have heart problems, do everything you can to minimize the damage. So I'm thinking about how we can deal with our tongue in a similar fashion. So with prevention, we can say, okay, well, one, we can watch what we say and understand it has a profound effect. And again, what we say to people lingers. James verses 1 in this chapter 3 says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So James is just emphasizing that if you are going to use this power of the tongue, it is imperative that you use it for people's benefit and for good things. You don't want to be that person who leaves the cigarette or leaves the campfire smoldering and causes this great forest fire. Don't be that guy or gal, James is saying. Another form of prevention is just understanding the power that the tongue actually has. Verse 8 says, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. And think about it this way. When we deal with things that are more dangerous in life, we take greater precautions. Cleaning materials are to be kept away from children. Firearms are to be locked up and stored safely. I mean, would you ever imagine scientists throwing around rocks of uranium all around like a football, handling deadly viruses with no protection like a hazmat suit? When things are dangerous, we tend to make sure that we take precautions to make sure that doesn't harm anyone. We can do something similar when it comes to the tongue if we understand just how powerful and dangerous it can be. If we understand that, we can do what in verse chapter 1 James talks about when he says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, that is our keeping our firearms in the lockbox. That is our keeping our hazmat suits on or keeping our environment safe from hazardous materials. when we listen to scriptures like James here, we can basically take better precautions on how the tongue is handled. Another form of prevention for when it comes to the tongue is just being quiet. One of my favorite sayings is, let the world know that you're a Christian, and if necessary, use words. And I love that phrase because in some cases it shows that you don't have to either use the tongue at all to express what you need to express. When it comes to Christianity, if we live our lives according to scripture, according to God's commands and Jesus' example, we don't have to say much to other people about who we are. They'll see the Christ in us. So one form of prevention is just taking that time to sit back and listen more. You know, we're so busy, you know, trying to figure out what we're supposed to do day in and day out that we rarely take the time to slow down and listen to see what God may be trying to direct us or redirect us to do. Another aspect of besides prevention when it comes to the tongue is damage control. Again, we're all human. We're all going to screw up. And so that's one of the approaches that we can take, is that realizing that because we will screw up, we can prepare in advance. For example, when a hurricane is coming to hit landfall, what do people do? They don't just kind of stand outside and have a picnic outside. They board up the house. They get supplies. They communicate to the loved ones and so on and so forth. You know, so, you know, when you have this reality that damage is coming and, you know, damage is imminent, is going to happen, you can properly prepare for it. And it's interesting to me that when people actually let loose of their tongue, causes damage, and then get surprised that damage is caused. It's almost like in football when I see a defensive back just totally manhandling a receiver and holding and grabbing and everything else, and then the referee throws a flag on them, they actually are surprised and shocked that the referee threw a flag. You know, sometimes we use our tongue in all negative type of fashions and then end up getting surprised that, you know, someone is calling us out or someone was hurt or someone was put out a certain way with the things that we've said. Well, again, if we know that the tongue can cause this damage, we can know in advance that we can start preparing for that damage the best way we can. Another part of the damage control is being humble and apologize. Scripture says that love covers a multitude of sins. So you need to tap into that love and humble yourself and be able to admit your faults and seek forgiveness for those that you hurt. You know, later in James, in chapter 4, verse 10, he says that humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. I mean, we'll inevitably mess up. And our tongue, as James says, is untamed. But things can go much better moving forward when you can admit your mistakes. Admitting mistakes de-escalates, it draws down defenses, and can even translate into empathy. In race relations, for example, this is such a key ingredient to progress. As a black person, it goes a long way when I hear a white person admit that they benefit from white privilege and that black people historically and presently have received a raw deal. And on the flip side, this notion, even proposed by some black people, unfortunately, that the problem is among the black people and black communities only, stems from, you know, some kind of individual lack of responsibility, is pretty infuriating. Humility goes a long way in any context you find yourself in. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Our God, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the ultimate example of how to rein in our tongues. He is the source of all the humility we need to minimize the damage we cause with our words. Remember, out the mouth flows the abundance of our hearts. If Christianity is our belief system, then our words should resemble that belief system. If anyone has the right to snap off on anybody, it was Jesus, someone who committed no sin and had plenty of reason to be upset by people who did, like the whole crucifixion thing. But instead, he showed kindness, gentleness, patience, and comfort. May we learn how to do the same.
Thank you. Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Be our sweet agreement at the meeting of our lives. O Jesus, we love you, so we gather here. Join our hearts in unity and take away our fear. So to
make us a house of peace. sing, fountain of all grace, our high priest, make us a house of peace.
God of salvation, in Jesus you embrace our humanity and transform our lives for your glory. Hear our prayers that we may love you with our whole being and love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
Far than I had ever never dared believe. Oh, the King of Heaven comes to the sound of many drums. Oh, the King of Heaven waits just outside the city gates, the city gates.
Outside.